Father, thank you for your love, for your blessings, for your presence in our lives. Yeah, thank you that you are in the small things. That, Father, you're not only concerned about what we consider to be the big, bold headline things, but you're concerned with the small, everyday things. Because the small, everyday things add up to be a life. And Lord, you're concerned with our lives. Help us to be still and know that you're God. Help us to not only hear, but help us to obey. Forgive us, Father, where we've sinned and come short. I pray, Father, you forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Small things. Now, as I was preparing for this message and thinking about this and praying about this, I couldn't help but think about a friend of mine growing up. He was a few years younger than me, but, you know, we'd get together and kids talk about what you're going to do, make plans to, and I can remember him in our preteen years and in our teen years, we'd be talking about things, and he'd say, "When I get grown, I'm going to da 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 da." He'd a whole bunch of stuff. He had big plans. And as we grew older, high school, he still had plans. You know, when I grow up, I'm going to do this. Well, after we grew up and went to school and, you know, our separate ways, I'd still see him from time to time. And then his thing, well, one of these days when I get rich, I'm going to da 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 da. Well, I wanted to ask him the other day, you're not rich, did you do all the da 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 da? But, you know, big dreams are fine. Absolutely. It's okay to have big dreams. But don't let the big dreams drown out the everyday thing of life that God is calling you to do. There was a young preteen or young teenager, probably 13 years old, who was, his world was yanked apart. Him and his friends, their city was invaded by a foreign power. And Daniel and his friends, as a probably 13-year-old boy, he was ripped up from everything he knew and shipped 1,000 miles away to the capital of the pagan world, to Babylon. And he was taken into the court of the king, and they wanted to groom these young men to be good pagans, good Babylonians. Scripture says he was faced with the delicacies of the king's table, all the fineries, all these things. And if you know anything about history, you know that Babylon was one of the wonders of the ancient world. There was probably jaw-dropping stuff to see and do in Babylon. And a 13-year-old was thrust into that. But Scripture says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the things from the king's table. And we know what happened with Daniel. He did that. And God used Daniel day in and day out, year in and year out, empire after empire after empire, because Daniel was faithful in the small things. Some scripture we want to look at today. First one comes from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Says, "For who has despised the day of small things?" Sometimes we consider small things as insignificant. You know, I can remember, going to Troy, back when I went, it was Troy State University, and sometimes people would look, well, yeah, that's a small school. You know, you could do better if you went to one of these bigger schools. Well, I think I got a fine education at Troy. Served me very well. You look at churches sometimes. As a matter of fact, I had a person tell me one time, because I was pastoring, and I have always pastored, for whatever reason, that's where God's called me, has pastored a small church generally. And so he's like, you know, you could do this, this, and this at a big church. Well, maybe I could, but that's not where God's called me. So don't despise small things. God works in the small things. You're not too small. You're not insignificant. God died for you, and he's calling you for a purpose and to a purpose. It is never too small. Let's keep looking. Matthew 25:21, his Lord said to him, this is Jesus speaking, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over what? Big things? Monumental things? What's it say there? Few. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. God is calling you to be faithful over a few things, some small things. Will you do that? Let's keep going. Luke 12:6. I love this verse. Jesus speaking, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? How little is a sparrow? I mean, little tiny things. You know, growing up, they were everywhere. They were, you know, they were the focus of our BB gun attacks generally because they were so small. You know, sparrows. But it says, God has not forgotten even them. Scripture tells us that he has numbered the hairs on our heads. There is nothing too small and too insignificant that God is not concerned about. You know, people have asked me before about individuals that were in big churches. You know, why would people gravitate to big churches? And I said there's a lot of different reasons. Sometimes because of the number of programs they have, and I understand that. But sometimes people go to a big church because they can get lost in a big church. And nobody ever calls on them to do anything. They just come, listen to the message, hear the music, and go out the door, and nobody knows one thing or the other. But at a small church, if you are not here, you are missed. Definitely missed. So don't despise the small things. Let's keep going. One thing that I want you to understand is, as I was thinking the other day, you know, standing out, and I have been there a couple of times, to the Grand Canyon. You stand on the rim of the Grand Canyon and your mouth just drops open at the grandeur and the beauty and the majesty of the Grand Canyon. Or you stand in front of a giant sequoia tree, put your hands on it and look up. Or you stand out in the pitch black dark of night away from a city where you can see the stars and you see the magnitude of the Milky Way galaxy, and you are just amazed at the immensity of it all, the majesty of all, and you think God is the creator of all this. And he is. Absolutely, he is. But don't forget, he is also the creator of that small purple violet blooming in the middle of a desolate winter landscape. Don't get lost in the big things. Think about the small things that God is the creator of, and God is in the detail of as well. Three things we want to look at today. First of all, we need to understand and take to heart that God is most definitely in the small things. We see that throughout Scripture, that God uses what we would consider to be small things to magnify himself. Goliath was a monster of a man, 9 feet tall, clothed in armor. He carried a spear that was the size of a weaver's loom. He had a full-grown man that carried his shield before him. Goliath was so large and so immense and so threatening that no grown man in the Israeli army would dare approach him. But one small teenage boy did. His name was David. He picked up a few small, smooth stones and put them in a small sling. Goliath made fun of him. But God used the small thing that day to defeat Goliath. As you look at Scripture, you see Gideon. Gideon was called by God, raised up to be a judge to deliver Israel from the plague of the Philistines. And they were about to go into a battle. And Gideon called for volunteers. And a fairly good-sized number of men showed up to fight. What did God tell Gideon? He said, you've got too many. Now, whoever told a general, you've got too many soldiers? But God told Gideon, you have too many men. Tell them if there's anybody scared to go home. Some of them went home. And God said, you still have too many men. Have them go down to the to the river down here and start drinking water. And all those that drink a certain way tell them to go home. And he wound up with only what? 300 men. Oh my goodness, 300 men against this vast army. Why? How? Because God is magnified in the small things. Jesus was born, what? As a small baby in a small town in a small country. God is in the small things. So if you're here today, take heart. No one is too small. You are not insignificant to God because He died for you. You're not too small. You're not too insignificant. You're not too powerless. Because if you have surrendered to God, then the power of the universe resides in you. There's also no problem that is too insignificant. Some people say, you know, don't bother God with those small things. It is no bother to pray to God. God is not bothered by your prayers. God wants to hear your prayers. There is no problem too insignificant. I know of an individual who was handicapped, and he said he prayed every time he went to town for a parking place. You might think, that's no big deal. It is if you're handicapped. And he said every time, without fail, God provided a parking place. Somebody asked me at work the other day, because I'm in an engineering group that has weekend duty. We have to provide coverage for the mill in case of emergency in any of the control systems 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so I have to serve duty once every 5 weeks. And he said, well, how does that work out when you're preaching? I said, I have been at this mill 30 years, and I have never been called on a Sunday to come in during church time to do anything. Now, is that coincidence? Yeah, that's a big coincidence, isn't it? God is in the small things. No call is too unimportant. If God has called you to do something, you have a place in God's economy. You have a place in God's kingdom, and that is not too small of a task. Cutting grass is not too small of a task. Serving back in the back, nobody sees the people back in the back, and yet they serve an important task. People who serve on the safety ministry, and the list goes on and on. People who help make our fall festival a success. There's a lot of individuals. They may have had a small task, but really, it's not so small, because that's part of the kingdom of God. You are not too small. You are not too insignificant. You do not have too little a thing to do, because if God's called you to it, then it has a part in His kingdom. And He will empower you to do those things that He calls you to do. I says, well, our church is too small. No, the church is never too small. If the church exists, God says, where two or how many? Three are gathered in My name, I am there in the midst of them. So don't look down on small things. Secondly, we need to sweat the small stuff. We need to sweat the small things. You do need to be concerned about. You know, people say, oh, well, it's not a big deal if I don't come to church. Yeah, it is a big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. Our thoughts matter. What we think about, because as our thoughts are, guess what's going to happen? Our heart's going to follow. You know the old adage, garbage in, garbage out? If you fill your mind with garbage, guess what's going to start showing up in your life? Garbage. I've shared before with you guys about this young girl at another church I was at, who I walked by and she was listening to a contemporary tune, not Christian, and wasn't very good lyrics. And I looked at her and she's like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize what they were saying. I don't listen to the words. I just listen to the music. And I'm like, okay. And went on about my business. Well, I don't know, a week or so later I met her and she was singing the song. And when she saw me, she realized, oh, I do listen to the words because I'm singing the words. Our thoughts matter. Focus your thoughts on God, on the things of God. Scripture says whatever thing is worthy of our thoughts, whatever things are beautiful. You know, we can think about all kinds of stuff, and a lot of the stuff is not worthy of our thinking. Our thoughts matter. Our daily activities matter. Where you go, who you hang out with, what you do, it matters. Now, I'm glad you're here today, but what were you doing yesterday? What will you be doing tomorrow? All those things matter. Christians, the way we do our job, it matters. It matters a whole lot. Because the scripture I shared with the kids this morning, whatever you're doing, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Be the best at what you do. Daniel bloomed where God put him. It was not, I guarantee you, it was not where Daniel wanted to be. But Daniel was willing to be used by God where he was. Our daily activities matter. What am I doing today? Am I going to honor and glorify God with the words of my mouth and the actions of my life? The people I'm hanging out with, would Jesus hang out with them? The things I'm going to do, would Jesus go do that? Faithfulness, listen to me now, faithfulness is measured in the daily small things. Let me ask you something. If you were going to hire somebody and you had two candidates and one person had always proven themselves to be faithful and timely and productive in the small things, and one person was helter-skelter on the small things but talked a good talk, which one would you hire? I'd hire the one that was producing faithfully in the small things, because chances are, if they're good in the small things consistently, they're going to do a good job in the big things. Do not think for an instant that God is going to call you to do the big thing if you have never been faithful in the small things. Listen to me now. Understand what I'm about to say. When David faced Goliath, was it a big thing or a small thing? It was a big thing. We look at it as a big thing. But you know what? David did not. Read your scripture. David said, "The same God that has delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear and the wolf is going to do it from this Philistine." You see, David lumped Goliath in with the same things that God had been faithful time and time again in the small things that David had encountered every day for however many years he was old. And David said, God's going to keep doing it. To David, his faithfulness, and yes, it was a big thing, his faithfulness against Goliath was because he had been faithful in the small things leading up to Goliath. Because to David, it was just another thing that he'd always done. It was faith in the God who had been consistent and faithful to him in the small things. Faithfulness is measured in the small things. And it matters. The small things matter. They matter a great deal. You never know when that note you send to somebody, that email, that telephone call, that pat on the back makes all the difference in the world for that person. It may be a small thing to you, but it may change their whole life. I was with Brother Mel and some preachers the other day at Fat Boys, as a matter of fact, on Tuesday, and Brother Mel was recounting a story the first time he had ever preached at a church that was not where he grew up. And he said that he was scared to death. He said he had a bunch of these ladies in there that was like the amen corner. He said they were amening everything and hollering stuff back at him. And he said, I forgot who I was and what I was preaching about sometimes. And he said, Lord, you know, he said, I preached during the sermon. He said, prayed during the sermon. He said, Lord, just let me finish this sermon and I won't preach again. Because he said, I thought I was just doing the worst job ever done. And he said, 17 people were saved that day. Now, he felt insecure and totally worthless, But God used the small things to save 17 people. God is in the small things. And faithfulness is measured in the small things. Jesus said, "You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you Lord over many. Come in to the joys of your Lord." Thirdly, as the song says, dream small. Now, what does he mean by that song? Same thing I've been talking about. Don't wait for the big things to serve God. You know, don't say, "Okay, God, I'm your man. If it's a big thing, call me. I'll be there." He's not going to call you. We need to be more like the prophet when he saw God. He said, "Here, my Lord, send me. Wherever, send me." Don't wait for the big things. Jump up and say, "Lord, here, now, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours." Bloom where he has you today. He may call you to something else tomorrow, but where you are today, bloom and grow. Serve him where you are. Don't wait for everything to be just right to say, "Okay, then I'm going to serve God," because it's not going to happen. Don't be like those individuals who say, "You know, I got to get my life right, and then I'm going to come to church," because you know what's going to happen? You're never going to come to church because you're never going to get your life right. We can't do that. Our life is not going to be right until Jesus is in our life. Serve God now. Don't wait. Do not wait. You don't have to wait. The moment you become a Christian, you can serve him right then. "Well, I don't know enough." You may not know enough to preach, but you can still serve God. Amen? Serve him. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, today is the day of salvation. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Just because the sun rose yesterday and this morning does not mean it will rise tomorrow. Pine Level Fire Department had 4 calls between midnight and 6 a.m. this morning. 3 of them were motor vehicle accidents in this little area. Now, thankfully, nobody died, but all 3 of them were serious. They could have. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. And you need to understand that you are important in the economy and the plan of God today. You're not going to be valuable tomorrow. You're valuable today. Jesus died for you today. Not based on what you could do tomorrow, but because of his love for you today. Serve him today. He is calling you where you are and who you are today. Not who you might be in the future. Not if I win the jackpot or whatever the case might be, because that may never happen. You need to serve God, surrender to God, who you are, where you are today, not tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, Scripture says. The evil for tomorrow is sufficient for that day. Worry about today. Worry about today. Here's your compass point. God is in the small things. Meet him there today. Today. When Moses was cowering down, face in the ground, sandals off, before the burning bush, and God was giving him his commission and his charge to go and get my people, Moses asked, "Who shall I say is going? Who shall I say is sending me? Who shall I tell them? What is your name?" And what did God say? The same name Jesus used in the New Testament when he was addressing the Pharisees. He said, "Tell them I am is sending you." Now, what is that name, I am? Think about it. I am is the ever-present state of being. What does it mean? Today. Now, yes, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But he is the God of today. Because, listen to me, that's the only day we have. Is that not true? Can you do anything about yesterday? Do you have any control over tomorrow? The only day we have is today. Do something with today. Don't wait, because you may not have tomorrow. Father, thank you for your word, for your blessings. Lord, thank you that we have today. And thank you that you are in today, that you are all over today, that you are the God of second and third chances, but that you made your own today. And that, Father, you are calling us to serve you, to yield to you, to surrender to you today. That you're calling us today to say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. Lord, forgive me of my sins and save me. You're calling us today to say, Lord, I want to serve you wherever you're calling me to do, whatever you're calling me to do. I want to serve you where I am. I want to bloom and grow where I am today. I want others to see Jesus in me. I want others to feel your love and your presence in me and through me and around me today. Lord, help us not to despise the small things. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open.